Everyone is told why they cannot be helped or why they must endure this fate and why nothing more can be said about it. This is only told to everyone when they have become inwardly mature for it and are able to understand it. Even for someone who has returned home, there are many questions and many whys, and his questions are answered as he progresses, as his thinking and beliefs change, and he is gradually taught according to his receptiveness. You should never assume that someone is being treated unfairly in any way. That may seem to be the case to your human perception. But it may also be that the explanations have not been expressed clearly enough for you, that I should have expressed myself more clearly. When someone is burdened like Ferdinand in this case and had to be placed in this lower level, the burden usually comes not just from one life, but from several burdened lives. In response to a further question as to whether Ferdinand's good nature had helped him a little, Joseph replied, "Basically, it is in the spirit when someone is a little good-natured, the incentive for this good nature comes from within. But here the genetic makeup of the mother came into play, which helped to develop it even more." Next case. November 5, 1969. Elizabeth won over to spiritual belief by her school friend. The connection with the spirit world of God and its teachings become groundbreaking for the rest of two friends' lives. Greetings and blessings from the controlling spirit are not preserved. Elizabeth, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Elizabeth, and I want to explain to you how I came to believe in the spirit and how it helped me in the divine world. I lived in Austria. I had a school friend there. Our paths separated when she left home because she had married a man who was working in the colonies. I had a mother who was very pious. I was raised in the Catholic faith, and I had three brothers. My father and the whole family were also religious, but my mother was particularly distinguished by her faith. She always wanted to know whether I had also gone to confession, and in this way she encouraged me to be pious. This way of behaving had repelled me from a very early age, because I found my mother's piety to be intrusive. I was also pious in my heart and I had my own special connection with Christ and the saints to whom we prayed, but my mother's intrusive piety repelled me. I remained unmarried, however, and stayed with my parents until they died, while my brothers each set up their own households. Well, my friend had moved away, as I told you, and so we wrote to each other a lot. She then told me about these strange meetings that she was now having in Africa. She wrote to me that she always met with people in the neighborhood and that there was a woman who was a medium, and that they always organized it like this: a number of friends, always the same ones, would always meet on the same weekday evening, then they would take this woman in the middle and form a circle and hold hands, and then this woman would speak to them in a trance. For me this was something completely new. She always wrote me details about it, because she had to and did convince me of it. She wrote to me that this person always gave instructions to those present and had a preview of their lives, so to speak, and that she, my friend, was initially somewhat skeptical about this, but was soon convinced because these things always happened exactly as the medium said. She was then completely convinced when the spirit explained through this woman that her mother-in-law was seriously ill and only had 2 or 3 days to live. My friend was naturally surprised and saddened, and for her it was supposed to be proof that this was really true. At that time, around 80 years ago, news was not transmitted as quickly as it is today, and so she had to wait until she heard. A few days later the news came, and it was that the mother-in-law had just died. She had been seriously ill at the time of the mediumistic transmission, and my friend and her husband were given the news when her mother had died. So she had proof again, personal proof, and this strengthened her belief in the connection to a spiritual world. And she wrote all of this to me. Naturally, I was amazed by this and wanted to know more and more. So we kept up a lively correspondence. She couldn't write to me enough about it. I was very curious about everything that happened there. She wrote to me in great detail that it was really true, that people live on after earthly death and that it was possible for a spirit to make itself known to a person and speak through them. But she also wrote to me that this was not something that happened every day, and at the same time made me aware of certain dangers that were associated with it, that one had to be very careful and that only such people should be accepted into her circle, who had a very strong character and who also lived with a deep faith in God and His justice. So she wrote to me about these things, and of course I thought about them too. So life goes on after death. She wrote to me, and she wrote me things that did not agree at all with the faith in which I had been brought up. I also told my mother this, because the pussy nature of her beliefs simply repelled me. My mother forbade me to have any further contact with this friend, because she said it was all just from the devil. But I could not agree to this, because I knew my friend far too well. She was a sincere, good soul, and all these things that she wrote to me, and all these messages, could never be messages from the devil. I had that much judgment myself. And so of course I knew exactly that this did not suit my mother, because it did not agree with her faith and with her nature in general. So our relationship wasn't exactly the best, because I now insisted on my new faith, on the knowledge I had gained through my friend. My mother was very angry with me because of this, but I didn't let myself be dissuaded from my faith. So I tried to live according to what my friend wrote to me, saying that it was necessary, because they received so many hints about the life beyond, how one must align oneself on earth in order to one day have merit in the kingdom of heaven. So I actually learned about the true, spiritual, pious life, which of course did not agree with my mother's faith. Well, the time came when my friend had to give me sad news. Her husband became ill. He became so seriously ill that he had to die. So she came back all alone. She had remained childless, and her husband stayed there, that is, he was buried there, so she came back alone. On the one hand she was sad, on the other hand she said to me when I first met her, "You know, I can't really be sad. After these insights, after everything I know, I have no reason to be sad. I miss my husband. It's hard for me to be alone now, but I know that he's fine. He was a good person. I influenced him too, and I believe that he has nothing to fear in his new world. And the advantage is, I can pray for him, and I can try to get in touch with him." So she came back and stayed near where I lived. We met up from time to time. Because it was not possible to take her into my house because of my mother, I went to her. She had been lovingly taken in by her parents, who were still alive, and so she was later able to take over and live in the house all by herself. I then always had the opportunity to be with her. We sat together in the evenings, lit a small candle and began to pray. First of all, we prayed for this deceased man. Then she taught me the way they had done in their circle. We had no medium to assist us, we were simply together, we sang. Just as they had done in the larger circle, we did the same thing together and prayed, and in between we read the New Testament. In this New Testament we kept finding explanations and proofs for the correctness of our faith. So we always stayed together. But then my parents became ill. First my father died, then not long after my mother. Now no one pestered me in this intrusive way with these religious teachings, I was completely free. And the two of us, my friend and I, had a wonderful relationship. Now we had even more opportunities to pray for our loved ones, to include them in our prayers. My friend's deceased husband was now joined by my father, my mother and her friend's parents. We had never given up, we always set aside 1 or 2 days a week for it and sat together early in the evening. We could pray and sing together and had the feeling that those we were praying for were also with us for a time. We only felt that they were there, we heard nothing from them, we could not hear anything. We had no mediumistic tendencies and we were both very sober people, we did not imagine that we heard anything, and we were also very critical. But we were content and happy to know that there is life after earthly death, and we were happy to know that one does not have to devote all one's thoughts and all one's strength to this fleeting world. We had the strength to bear unpleasantness much better. No suffering could really come near us, we could understand and overcome all of it, because we tried not to sell ourselves completely to this world, but we lived for the world to come. this connection that we had remained a secret for both of us, so to speak. We did not tell anyone about it, because we knew the people who lived around us and knew that they all had such fanatical religious views. So we did not want to be a nuisance to them, and we kept it as a great secret to ourselves. Sometimes we were both admired for being so able to deal so easily with the many unpleasantnesses that also came to us. We simply could not attach the same importance to these externals as others did. But we were happy about the knowledge of the spiritual world, we were happy that we too would one day be allowed to enter this world, and we were eager to shape our lives in such a way that we could gain a lot of spiritual merit. Even in the time when we lived, we had enough opportunities to support distressed and sick people and to help them as best we could, for at that time there were quite a lot of poor, needy people, suffering people who were sick in body and soul. So we always had understanding for them, and we could also give them something to edify them and give them some comfort again and again. This life made us happy, because we both lived very, very modestly. By the way, I would like to say, if we have the opportunity, dear brothers and sisters, to look at you in your prosperity, in your comforts, then you are living in a paradise compared to what we once had. But I would like to make the following remark: this paradise is a fleeting paradise, and you should not devote yourself to this paradise with all your strength and interests and live this life to the full, otherwise a time will come when you will regret not having come to a different, higher level of knowledge. This is just a remark in passing. But now I would like to continue and tell you about my entrance into the spiritual world. When I awoke in this new world, I was greeted by beautiful beings. I did not know them, but they were not strangers to me, because my whole thoughts and desires were filled with heaven. These beings were unknown to me, but they were not strangers to me, they were the angels of heaven, as we had imagined them in human life. Well, when I entered this new world, my mother and my father were the, and other acquaintances were the two. But when I opened my eyes, I still couldn't quite find my way around. I woke up in a preliminary stage or preliminary level to my heaven, which I was then allowed to enter. In this preliminary stage, my relatives were waiting for me, my mother, my father. Well, my father didn't speak much, and pretty soon I didn't see him anymore. My mother, on the other hand, accused me. She fell to her knees and begged me and told me to stand by her and help her. At the same time, she reproached me for not having talked to her more forcefully. If I already had this belief, I could have done a lot for her during the time we were together on earth. But I said to her, "Dear mother, it was not possible for me to stand by you, to convince you." She did not listen to the words I was able to say. Yes, she pressed herself towards me, pulled me by my spiritual garment, although I was not yet fully aware of what was actually going on. The companion who was standing at my side had to admonish my mother and say to her, "Look, your daughter must first find her way. Let her strengthen herself a little first. I will give her a drink right away, and I will give some to you too." So this beautiful being handed us a drink from a wonderful vessel. I then felt strengthened and happy. It was clear to me, I had now laid aside my earthly body. But of course I was full of curiosity, I looked around. My mother pressed me more and more, although she had also taken this drink and it should have given her strength and refreshment. She reproached me, "If you knew this truth, why didn't you talk to me in a more forceful way?" I had no words to answer. My companion, the Spirit of God, had to tell her, it would have been of no use, because you rebuked her, and she needed strength to keep her faith and her conviction, because you wanted to dissuade her from this faith. Then pleading she asked me, "I want to stay with her." I just looked at this saint who was standing next to me and asked, "What should I do? I am a stranger here and I don't know anything about it." And he said, "No, you are not living together, because it is not possible. You live with us and with us, while she," and he pointed to my mother, "still has a lot to learn and to make up for. But what you can do is, you can meet each other there." And he said to me, "You can, if you like, visit your mother and you can teach her yourself. You can give her news, You can tell her about the world you have found, what it looks like. Yes, I agreed to do this. It was my mother, I wanted to help her. But the angel led me away and led me into a beautiful heaven that was so wonderful. It was much, much more beautiful than we had imagined with our human minds. So I was surprised by the beauty that I experienced in this heaven. First, I was allowed to rest for a long time. I was allowed to be a guest of the saints of heaven. They had opened their house, and in the beginning there were always invitations to this house. I was allowed to receive these guests, I was allowed to introduce myself, and we talked to each other. These saints, with whom I was staying, then told me who I was and that I was not a stranger to them, to these guests, because they had also been present in this circle and had accompanied me in life, given me strength for my faith and supported me in everything I did. Now I was able to find out that these were spiritual friends who had been in contact with me during my lifetime. So all these saints knew me, and we had a wonderful friendship. I was naturally interested in the work of all of these guests, and so they took turns telling me what they had to do, what tasks they had, and that I too would not only be a guest in this house, but would also have to take up a job, but first I should adapt to this new world. I should now step out of the house and look at the surroundings. I should talk to all of my spirit brothers and sisters and introduce myself so that I could feel at home over time, and then I would be given a task. I was naturally interested in the well-being of my parents, and so I went to visit my parents. My father was more able to cope. I didn't need to pay him any special attention. He was happy when I came to see him, but I didn't need to look after him particularly. My mother, on the other hand, was very disappointed with the life she found, because it was not what she had imagined it would be like on Earth. She had to work, and she did not like this work at all, because during her lifetime she had imagined that whoever was in the kingdom of heaven and woke up there would no longer have to work, they could just sit around and go here and there and simply enjoy themselves and be happy and cheerful, and no work had to be done. She had such an idea, and her disappointment was correspondingly great when she was told, "You have to work. Everyone here has to work, and according to their abilities they are led to their tasks, and according to their spiritual merits they take a good or less good place in the kingdom of heaven." Since she was also asked about her spiritual merits and she thought she had to list many of them, and the angel of God simply ignored it and simply could not understand that such things were considered spiritual merits, my mother finally had to realize that something was wrong with her. She had to do the following job. She became a spiritual messenger and was always on the move. And wherever she went, to another house, to another workshop, she was given a message, and over again she had to take this message and sometimes objects here and there. She was always on the move. This was not how she had imagined heaven. She had believed, as she said, that being able to rest, sunbathe, sing and pray, that was life in the kingdom of heaven. Now she was a messenger, and she had to feel that no one paid her any special respect or esteem, that she was lost in the crowd of beings, and yet she believed that she had been so pious in life and now had a special right to this heavenly world. And she did not have this special right. The amount of work she had to do was many, so she was no different from the others. Like the others, she was a follower in the great machinery of this new world. And so it seemed to her that, of all places where she lived, one had to work particularly hard and a lot. She complained to me about that. When I visited her, she asked me to see to it that she was released from this task. But I had to tell her that I couldn't do anything about it and that I had a task to complete myself. I told her that I had been a guest of the heavenly beings for a long time and that I really enjoyed being able to sing and pray with the others, but now the time had come for me to do something. So I told her about the work I was doing and what it was for and who it was for. That was, of course, something completely different. There was a big difference between my work and hers. She would have loved to do what I was allowed to do because she believed she had the same ability. I was busy arranging flowers. I made the most beautiful arrangements for heavenly celebrations. I made large carpets out of flowers, the smallest, tiniest little flowers, And these carpets were taken to the heavenly temples where the high princes of heaven came to praise and glorify God together with those brothers and sisters and to pay homage to the King of the Spirit world. There they knelt down on these magnificent flower carpets. That was my work, and I filled it with great joy. My mother now believed that she could do the same. She would have had the ability to do it, but I had to say to her, "Look at your hands. Your hands are so coarse that you are not capable of taking these delicate flowers in your hand, weaving them and tying them into a bouquet. You cannot make a carpet out of these little flowers like I do." Over time she understood and was satisfied with her work. I promised to pray for her and then I reached the heavenly messengers, asking them to please take pity on my mother. But they explained to me that she would have to do this work for a certain period of time. After all, she could only progress step by step, and when she had completed this time that was set out for her or predetermined for her, she would be able to do more pleasant work. So I went to her, comforted her and said, "Look, dear mother, you just have to do this work now. The time will come when you will be able to do better work, a better, more pleasant activity." Then I reminded her of what she had said to me in her human life. She had drawn my attention to Christ, to his sacrifice, and so I explained it to her. "Look, you know how you spoke to me. Christ took on so much hardship and bore it for the sake of justice. And so you too must fulfill this task for the sake of justice. You must carry out your work as it is intended for you." I was then allowed to go to her for a while. This made her very happy, because now and then I brought her some of these strange and unknown flowers from my kingdom of heaven. She was happy about it, and it gave her strength to fulfill her task, and so she then strove for something higher. I had the opportunity to influence her and explain to her which path she should take and how she should think and act. And so it happened that she gradually rose a little. Now, just a small note about my friend. The time for her return home was also determined for her. I was allowed to fetch her, and she was able to live with me in my house, where I lived. At first she was also a guest of the Saints of Heaven, and later she moved her home over to me. So we had to do the same work together, and we were happy about this way of creating in the Kingdom of Heaven. But it is not the case that we only made such arrangements and carpets. We also had to be taught about many things that belong to God's order, that belong to God's laws. We also occasionally went with other saints of heaven in search of unfortunate people who lived on earth without faith. We went near them and tried to shake their consciences awake, although we knew that we could not succeed in convincing them. But their spirit saw us, and the spirit, which was awake, should not be allowed to complain later in the world beyond that no one had informed it of the truth in its true spiritual language. So we went one time to such unfortunate, unbelieving people, but another time our path led in our world, that is, in the spiritual world, to those spirit brothers and sisters who were seeking help, in order to comfort them and to say to them, "The time of your distress will pass, you must endure this time, and things will get better for you." By explaining this to the individual, one can say to him, "It will pass, for you are not damned, you will not be in your misery for all eternity, but you must repent." But time passes, and the faster you change your mindset, the faster this difficult time can pass for you. So we were able to bring comfort here and there with the saints of heaven, and especially on the days of remembrance, on the feast days of Christ, we sometimes brought a refreshment with us. For one person perhaps an oil, for another a drink. They always accepted it with joy, because it was balm for them in one way or another. So I am active in the kingdom of heaven and very satisfied. I have all this to thank my friend, who made me aware of this belief in life after death. In the spiritual world, my friend managed to convince me. I turned away from the others, I stood firm and was rewarded for my firm belief. But I had also oriented myself accordingly in life. I had not lived for the transitory world. I always kept the future in mind and that opened the door to the kingdom of heaven for me. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you about my life, how I came to this belief and about my entry into the spiritual world. The same should happen to you, so that you can also gain access to the heavenly world through your faith. So it is good if you do not give all your strength to this transitory world, but rather orient yourself towards it. Keep the future before your eyes, the divine future, the spiritual life, that is eternity. So, dear brothers and sisters, I am returning, because I have a lot to do. So may God bless you. Greetings. Report of the Ascending Spirit Being Elizabeth by Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the Hall on Mar 1 Quartington Stress, Direct Template, Tape Recording. Next Case. December 3, 1969 Laura, one day everyone will be caught up in God's order. Reunion with grandfather and insight into his self-chosen activity as a protective spirit in his former village. Laura, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Laura. I can speak to you without anyone, controlling spirit, having to announce me first. I lived happily with my family. I was married and had children. We tried to live according to God's will as best as we could, which means we had made our mistakes. We had made some mistakes and knew that we shouldn't have done this or that. We were weak people too. In the family we tried to live in peace with one another. We also prayed the night prayer together. So we were always lost in prayer together before we said goodbye to go to sleep. That was so natural. For my part, I had a special relationship with the angels. I prayed to them that they would look after me and protect me. I trusted and hoped in them. Actually, I prayed more to the angels than to God himself. None of my family thought much about what would happen after death, although we knew that life would go on in some form. How it would go on didn't concern us. So I lived in particular in connection with the holy angels. I had a special relationship with them and I believed that my guardian spirit was particularly attentive and would always hear my requests. So my life was not distinguished by special events. Everyone in my family tried to live right. But now, I would like to talk about the other thing, namely our retreat into the spiritual world, what we experienced there, in that world that we had no idea about, which was so new to us. So we just had to admire this world. When I crossed over into the spiritual world, my grandfather greeted me very warmly. He was particularly happy to greet me and he confided to me that he had actually been my guardian spirit. While I had assumed that a very high angel from heaven would accompany me through life, it was my grandfather. I didn't really like hearing that, because I had expected an angel of God to stand before me and say that he had actually accompanied me in life and listened to my requests and tried to fulfill them. And now my grandfather stood there and said that he had been the one who had mainly taken care of me and the whole family. I remembered my grandfather well from my childhood, but he had changed somewhat in the spiritual world. He was very good looking and it seemed to me that he was taller. Now my grandfather told me about his new world. He said he wanted to tell me all this so that the world would not be so strange to me. And they allowed it. I had other relatives, family members who greeted me, and acquaintances were the two, but it now seemed that my grandfather really was to play a special role for me. Now my grandfather explained to me that he had not only protected me and my children and the whole house, but the whole village. He had been the guardian spirit for the whole village. Nobody would have denied him that. And since he had been so attached to these people during his lifetime and to everything that had happened in the village, he wanted to express this same bond in the spiritual world as well. And so he explained to me that people continue to live like this and that there are probably spirits of God who are on a higher level and watch over everything. So he told me about the tasks he had carried out in the village. He explained to me that he had always been there whenever he could to prevent disaster. He had always intervened whenever he could. For example, he told me that in the same village, I knew the area well, including the buildings, he once saw a storm approaching and that this storm could be disastrous for the village. And he, my grandfather explained to me, had been very excited. He had called on other spirit brothers and sisters to help him, just as he was used to calling on spirit brothers and sisters here and there to assist him. And so he had a certain foresight. This was so that he could see what was going to happen to the people in the village in the next few hours or 2 or 3 days. He also saw the dangers that this storm could bring with it.